Talk delivered on the occasion of Janmashtami celebrations 2003, printed in Bodhayanti Parasparam, Volume 4, Chapter 11, titled Freedom and Liberation.
Mind has got a very funny way of looking at things. Personally, after having had an absorbing meditation, where we were in the company of the Divine, and peace was reigning, one would not like to get disturbed at all. Silence is the nature of God and also the language of God. But we have our own languages. We would like to exhibit or display the same, one for our amusement and for other people's entertainment. In either case, we have left the base. Master used to say several times that he is a silencer. How true it is, people who meditate know. There has always been a very consistent argument given that through intellect or knowledge one can reach the ultimate. Some people argued in favor of activity or yagas and yajnas. Neither knowledge nor that karma leads you to a state of liberation. It is absolutely necessary that we should liberate ourselves, not that we are going to land somewhere else, but that will enable us to perform better here. Selflessness is a prerequisite for efficient action. It is because we are selfish, we are motivated, we have got so many ways of looking at things from our own angle, inefficiency creeps in. It is in the interest of human welfare that we are liberated from our petty wishes. I requested brother to give me the references to liberation from master's works. I tried to study, and I am placing before you what I consider is what I learned from those sentences. But as I told you in the beginning, we learn more in silence. If only we can learn to be silent, our efficiency will double itself automatically. Most of these are extracts from Master's works. Here and there you will find a few sentences from my side. Copies of this I will ask it to be distributed. Lord Krishna has made it clear in the Gita that worship of gods may lead you at the most to their sphere only, which is a limited one and far below the point of liberation. Reality at dawn. I have given the references also there. Those who think that they can continue to have their own mode and method of worshipping deities and functionaries and also practice the system of sadhana as advocated by our revered master would only be swerving away from the path. Sure, they may return to the path, but who knows, that may take ages and many lives. What makes us go astray and seek to A. find solution in deities and other modes of worship, and B. find similarities between our method and the so-called traditional methods of praise, stotra, and incantations, mantra. It is only the problems of our life which we sometimes feel as miseries and our desire to get happiness through such methods. Master states that I wish you to be ever happy, but happiness consists in the due discharge of one's duty. The Gita lays so much stress upon it. It is in fact the very life of and soul of spirituality. One must be prepared to face boldly the difficulties and worries that happen to come across one's way on the path of duty to all those one might be connected with. This is but a petty sacrifice which is nothing in comparison to the sufferings of all our successive lives. The only thing I insist upon is the due discharge of duty towards the world and the divine, and that is all and enough for the attainment of liberation within this life. The problem of life is not just seeking pleasure or even happiness during our lifetime, but to seek permanent happiness that is attainable only through freedom from our desires and wishes. Until we find this freedom, even as Swami Vivekananda put it, we do not know the joy of freedom itself. For this, one needs to be freed or liberated from the bindings of the desire and wishes. What is the way and how do we accomplish it in a practical manner? Master says, if one is to be brought to the stage of liberation, method for it would be to divert his soul towards the ultimate. The result shall be that he will go on developing till by the last moment of his life he will finally reach the destination and attain liberation. I can proclaim by the beat of the drum that none except a worthy master having at his command the power of transmission can ever bring forth such wonderful results. And that Raja Yoga alone is the path which promises sure success. But this can fall to the lot of those fortunate ones alone who are activated by an earnest longing for liberation and are really destined for it. The various successive steps of yoga laid down in Patanjali's system are all included in the one routine process and are covered by the Abhyasi without undergoing each one separately. But since that is possible only through the help of Pranahuti, I wish more and more Abhyasis to come up to it and be profited thereby. Moksha is commonly presumed to be the final point of most religious pursuits. But moksha may be represented in two ways, as salvation and as liberation. Salvation refers to a state of temporary pause in the normal routine of birth and death. This temporary suspension of the normal routine may, in different cases, extend to different lengths of time according to one's attainment. During that period, the soul enjoys freedom from rebirth. But after the expiry of that period, it returns again into the world to assume a material form. But in the case of liberation, when once it has been achieved, there remains no possibility of the soul's return to the material form. Liberation is literally the end of the routine of births and rebirths. Liberation has today become very easy because of the presence of the Divine Personality. The conception of people does not generally go beyond the point of liberation, which they take to be the final limit of human approach. But that's a wrong idea. As a matter of fact, liberation is the lowest attainment on the divine path, hence it is like a toy for a child to play with. Beyond that, there is yet a lot to be achieved. The infinite ocean lies still ahead. It is a limitless expanse. Have your eyes fixed upon that and only that, and go on and on to trace it out. Master says that I have a heart ever ready to help anyone who might be in need of help. I take the job not as a master, but as a humble servant of humanity. There are and have been masterly gurus who work and have worked as masters in their time, but I prefer to be a servant instead, and to work as a servant for the good of the people in general. Please do what you are told to do. Please do what you are told to do, and keep me informed of your day-to-day progress and also of the difficulties, if any. I assure you that you can achieve the goal very easily if you go on persistently with constant remembrance. Our Grand Master, who throws fresh light on any subject that he touches, says that attaining freedom from miseries is liberation. Liberation is both permanent and temporary. When the liberation is such that the bondage of sorrow is never felt, it's a permanent liberation. That which is the cause of bondage, when reversed, helps in attaining liberation. There are three causes of bondage. 1. Remembrance. 2. Meditation. 3. Bhajan. When the practice of these three is associated with external things, the result would be birth and bondage. And when they are practiced at heart internally, keeping the goal constantly in view, it will result in freedom from external and surface bondages. Remembrance means remembering again and again. Meditation means having the idea. Bhajan means contemplation or continuous meditation. Reverse these according to the instructions of the Master. There should be resistance to outside impressions, and the inner veil should be removed. Then gradually the meaning of liberation will become clear and liberation will be attained. The impressions and samskaras that we form, we know, are what we reap as results of karma. Master says, as for prarabdha karma, I think and see in my vision that they are in store for bhoga, as every action of body or mind produces some effect. We can attain liberation when we have cleared ourselves of all the past impressions. It is, of course, a tedious task. In Raja Yoga, they appear for bhoga in almost fried up state due to abhyas and good guidance. The process of bhoga is also carried on during sleep, provided the master, the essential need in spirituality, is worthy of the task to bring these things round for bhoga in the dream. We have only to unveil ourselves through devotional practices. Master asserts that as long as all samskaras are not thrown out, there cannot be liberation. He gives us enormous hope and courage in attaining liberation by making a categorical statement that our system is meant exclusively for the attainment of liberation and beyond, hence far away from baser ideals. I impart the same to everyone, even from my first contact. Master makes it a point to stress that Raja Yoga is the only means for attaining liberation. Once an aspirant asked me whether the word Raja Yoga was used by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, and the answer for that can only be a no. But such queries are quasi-intellectual and trying to avoid the liberating force of the Master. Lord Krishna, who in so many ways said that the doctrine he expounds is the secret doctrine of the Rajas. Be that as it may, Master asserts that as for the attainment of liberation or complete freedom, almost all the great sages of the past and the present agree on the point that Raja Yoga alone is the path that ensures success up to the final point of human approach, and everyone dedicated to complete freedom must sooner or later come up to it. Grand Master Revered Lalaji Maharaj said that liberation means becoming free. Freedom from bondage is called liberation. These two conditions are related to the mind. Mind alone experiences. Mind alone accepts and feels bondages and freedom. This knowing and feeling is knowledge. When the mind thinks itself ignorant and is keen about knowledge and is interested in it and knows it, it is called knowledge. Likewise, when the mind becomes perturbed on taking a certain condition to be unpleasant, it is called bondage. And when it tries to free itself from the conditions and attains freedom, it is liberation or mukti. Just as knowledge and ignorance are the states of mind, so also are freedom and bondage. Both are illusory and mental acceptations. Master wrote in Abhyasi, "You asked me about Nirvikalpa Samadhi. It is of course a yogic attainment, but it will not solve your problem. It can bring you to a state of salvation, but liberation is something else. This state we know is one where there are no thoughts experienced by the aspirants during meditation." Master clarifies further, "Thoughts can be stopped just in a moment, but that will not be in our interest, since for the attainment of liberation, it is but essential to throw out the buried thoughts after having completed their bhoga." He also states that we do not stop the thoughts which come to the abhyasi, but we try to clean every center of the nerves and the mind lake, chit lake itself. We clean the very bottom of the mind lake from where the waves start. If we somehow succeed in stopping its waves, the matter which gives them rise will remain as it is. It is possible that by the force of the will, the thought waves may be stopped, but the matter which had given rise to those thought waves remains. And if it is not removed, the liberation is not possible. Our associates also complain of the incursions of the thoughts, but they are happy at the same time since they find thoughts less disturbing. We can attain liberation, as our scriptures say, only when we are free from the coil of past samskaras or impressions. The present samskaras are so much controlled by themselves that no further samskaras are allowed to be formed. It is, of course, a special state, and we come to it easily in Sajmarg when we go deep into consciousness. He strongly affirms that such a masterly type of spiritual training cannot be had anywhere but in our samstha, which runs under the kind grace of my great grandmaster. It is certain that the followers of such a high road to divinity have ever been few at all times and in all yugas. Only those who are destined for liberation are attracted to it with eagerness and zeal. Master, while exhorting us to develop humility, said, "As a matter of fact, all of us are like beggars at the Master's door, having a begging bowl in hand, which the Master readily fills. But when the bowl is already full with things other than spirituality, the question of getting anything from him does not arise at all, for anything poured into it will flow out at once. The primary thing for us to do is, therefore, to make ourselves empty of all these, so that it may be filled up with Master's grace. But it's a matter of pity that I find all my warnings going unheeded. Few seem to be trying to develop that amount of capability in themselves. The whole atmosphere is surcharged with the strongest divine force. Can liberation ever be so easy and cheap? It is definitely the time when everyone should give his entire attention to it, setting aside all other things and feelings. I do not thereby mean to induce you to give up your worldly living, discarding everything, including your responsibilities and obligations, but only to give yourself up to your Master in a spirit of surrender, availing of the time at best you can. The Master does a lot for you even without your knowledge, to inspire you with the true feelings required for your spiritual uplift. But then there must be a true response from your side too. You must promote within him the intensity of feeling which might compel him to push you on and on. That is, as a matter of fact, your part in the enterprise, and for that you have to develop intense love and devotion. Master states that at the stage of liberation, one is relieved of all the five kosas or sheets, without which one's naked form could not have come into view. Complete freedom from these kosas is an essential feature of realization, and that is possible within the lifetime of a man too. All these things shall come during the course if only one remains adhered firmly to his final object or goal. Master said, if we go with the full force at our command towards our main goal, the world would itself become a second thought. Go on doing the process of meditation till it is matured. This is the last stage of meditation. When we become one with the real thing, the things of following it grow so dark that we do not perceive them. In other words, we become blind in this respect, and our vision for the real things improves, and we bring it to such a standard that we are lost altogether. When this condition comes, we feel that we are in a state of liberation. If this condition is matured, then there is the end of all miseries. No pain, no sorrow, no enjoyment, and no pleasure. The machinery of body now works without producing impressions upon us. In other words, the body becomes an automatic machine which runs by itself as duties demand. Here is the end of everything, and there is no making of samskaras. Here is the point where we surrender ourselves in toto automatically. This is the essence, tattva, of the Bhagavad Gita. This is the condition which the angels crave for. It is reserved for the human being alone. Master wants us to turn totally towards God and treat all existence as his expression, which we are duty-bound to serve. He says, if we turn our interest towards God in the real sense, then all these things have fade out in the end, and gradually the result will be that condition which Lord Krishna has described. What is that condition? Man begins to feel himself actionless, and this condition, when it grows and reaches a high level, stops the formation of impressions or samskaras. And if one ever stepped into this condition and went on further, then what remains? One part of it will be what is called the state of liberation in one's lifetime, called Jivan Mokshagati. What a word which people are trying to prove in many ways. Master dismisses the notion that liberation is too tough for the grihastha and asserts that the popular belief that the attainment of liberation is not only difficult but also impossible within a span of one's life is a mistaken notion. Who knows, this very life of ours might be the last one to bring us to the level of liberation. Indeed, our great master has boldly asserted that one can for sure attain liberation in this very life, nay, even in a part of it, provided one is really earnest about it and has a fortune of having a proper guide. This he has practically demonstrated in many instances, which only direct experience can prove. For everything there is a price. One needs to understand that nothing is acquired by no effort. Master stresses this when he says that everybody likes freedom, but few take care to acquire freedom from freedom. This higher stage is a result of total submission to Master Supreme. It is all-absorbing attachment or bondage to reality alone, which liberates one from every other bondage. Liberation can make one free from all the earthly bondages. When a person wants his evolution, nature helps him. Doctor gives bitter pills to the patient, even when he loves the patient dearly. God wants to see his creation quite befitting, pious and clean. So it is the law of nature that he does everything necessary to open the door of evolution. There is a current belief among us that recitation of the name of the Lord Hari is all and enough to get liberation. This has led to many cults and religions. Master states that now about reciting God's name over and over again, advised by certain sages, as the surest means of liberation in the Kali Yuga. I believe that unless we merge ourselves in the vibrations produced by reciting God's name, we can never be sure of getting the desired result. Please note the broad-minded approach of the Master and understand that he is hinting at the almost practical impossibility of one merging in the vibrations of the name of the Lord. It's a matter of our experience that the same name of God, sung by some, is more attractive to us than others. These Naam Kirtans, set to music of sorts, is more absorbing to the sensuous ears than the ones sung by devoted ones immersed in the thought of the Master. Frankly, please introspect whether you ever liked the song of the Master, Dinana. The sensuousness made you feel that it is not attractive. If that is the case for the Master like revered Babaji Maharaj, what to talk of others? Let us face the facts and choose the reality. Master asserts that our method is so simple that for this very reason it sometimes becomes very difficult for people to realize its true significance. Difficulties arise when people do not take God just as He is, but fit Him into numerous artificialities created in their own minds to suit their own taste and likings, and thus put Him completely within the sheath of Maya. They worship Him as such, with the result that they themselves get engrossed in Maya, or in other words, they become the worshippers of Maya in gross form. Now if anyone comes up to explain it to them, they run away from him, thinking that he is trying to delude them. They appreciate more the Mahatmas, who, being themselves dyed in various hues of Maya, offer them colorful things which are suited to their taste. The common mistake is that they do not care to pay attention to these most vital facts, and they seek for liberation from those who have it not. Really, most of them do not have any aspiration for liberation at all. They adhere to gods and goddesses only to serve the worldly ends. Please observe the humility of the Master when he says, "I earnestly pray that all of us, leaving our prejudices, may come to the path of righteousness which promises liberation." Master states that spirituality ends in divinity, and divinity ends in its real essence. Man after liberation gains nearness to God and enters into a sphere where even silence is silent. Liberation in body is also a chapter in spirituality. Material science cannot explain further after matter is left out. Spirituality is a sort of feeling or consciousness of the highest. It is the doorway to enter into the divinity, pure and simple, that is the highest evenness all along. Master in his autobiography noted that people be or to be encouraged to acquire real faith, structure and develop themselves, engage in preaching and spreading real sort of the science of the ultimate Brahma Vidya all around. Thousands of lives have gone by. No more should now be allowed to slip away. Liberation is not at all something difficult. It requires just the right attachment of thought. These are a few thoughts from the various books that we have culled out and tried to present it before you.